Service connected is when you file a claim to the VA for disability and compensation. That means is that you have an injury in service and the VA recognizes that you had an injury in service, so they compensate.
So, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with
Joe Castellanos.
He is a former Stevie and a veteran service officer for all of us veterans out there, man. So talk about being a Stevie, man. What'd you think?
It was a good time. It could have been better, you know? Maybe not having such shitty hours.
Well, like, being so, like, yeah, what was your rate, man?
CM. I was a CM3. I was NCB1.
Construction mechanic, for the people who don't know.
Yeah.
Gulf Fort, Mississippi, construction mechanic.
Custodial manager. I did 7 years stationed in Gulf Fort the whole time.
Damn.
3 deployments, Okinawa and Iraq. And I got out in 2012, and I was just like, well, what's next? So I went to school, and then I did work study with the GI Bill, and then I did VSO stuff. And then after that, I guess I picked up a job as a VSO at the LA County. That's where I'm here now.
Okay, cool. That was a great podcast. No. Like, so when you were in Iraq and Okinawa and stuff like that, what would you think was your favorite place to go?
Dude, well, my first deployment was Okinawa, and I was only like 19. Drinking age is 20.
20, yeah.
Talking about 06.
Right.
So I was like 19, yeah. Couldn't drink, but we had the crow's nest on base, which is the old crow's nest.
Yeah.
So you can eat there, you can play bingo. I think you could gamble, I think.
Yep.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, they had all kinds of good stuff there.
And what else did they have? That was it. That was the base. I think there was like a gym that everyone used the first 2 months of deployment and then never went back.
Yeah, that was it. That's they had the
rush,
gym.
Yeah.
I fucked somebody behind that gym once. Yeah, dude, there's like a, I don't know why I was thinking about that, but yeah, like, there's a fence behind the gym. You can't get there now because it's like closed off, but there.
I know why now.
Yeah, right? But she was grabbing the fence. I was right behind her. Just thought I'd share that part. But anyways, we were supposed to talk about veteran stuff, and here I am talking about good times. Anyways.
If you're out there, he's thinking about you.
Oh, yeah, I am. By the way, call me. What was I going to say? They had the gym. You had the freaking, Charlie Company, headquarters, all that fun stuff. And you're a mechanic, so that means...
We were in the shop all the time.
Yeah.
It rained half the time, I swear, we were there. And then there was a few typhoon things, so we got locked in the barracks.
Dude, Okinawa rains?
Water. Yeah.
Okinawa rain sideways.
Yeah, sideways, big drops.
And then, typhoon stuff, so that means... I've seen a dumpster fly, like, a big bag. Like, sideways. Yeah. It just picked up and there it goes. It's fucking crazy, man.
I mean, we had Xbox at the time, so we kind of just like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
But after the second day, it was just like, nah, man, this is too much. But and then, like, you still have the Air Force Base, but they had a enlisted club or something, Banyan Tree,
yeah. They had good pizza.
Didn't they close that down, too?
No, it's back up and running again. Okay. Yeah, they moved it, I guess. But it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. When you're OOD or CDO, you got a officer of the day or command duty officer, you got to go through there and patrol it.
Oh, really?
So I went through and it sucked. It was so sad. Like, there's like, people that just like, I don't know, they look like avid cat owners.
By their first time there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I need a cat. You know what I mean?
I'm here because my cat died. So, I mean that, and there was a Chili's. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
On the base.
Yeah.
Gate 2,
man.
You go buy stuff. Counterfeit Jordans.
Fuck yeah.
Fake Nike stuff.
Like all kinds of fake hockey, like red stuff.
Yeah, jerseys, dude. Yeah.
Dude, I bought my buddy. I was asking my buddy Steve Simone, he's a comic. I was like, "Would you fear a football player?" And then it was cool. Got him a jersey.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
they look legit. I mean, to me, I don't know anybody.
So. Look, it's fucking idea. So Okinawa, then you went Homeport. Yeah. Homeport, was that like good, bad, pouring?
That was like, well, because I don't know what the cycle is now, but when I joined, it was 6 and 10.
Yeah.
So
12 and 6 now, but yeah, 6 and 10.
Yeah, and then that time we were doing the workup for our Iraq deployment, so they actually went 9 month Homeport. They cut it short and they sent us out early. And some of the CSC teams, they went out even earlier because my friend, my roommate at the time, he was on the CSC team.
And that's a convoy support element now, right? I mean, because it used to be convoy support team. It was now CST, it's convoy CST support CST element. Basically, these guys are they're escorting. Yeah. They're escorting people around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean as in like the hooker way, you know?
They don't put out.
Nah. I don't know. Maybe they do. I mean, that's probably why.
No,
they did call us the Mink Ranch.
They
fucking
drive around in their trucks with the guns, and then they. That's it. I mean, I don't know. So we did a 9 month home port, and I just remember thinking, when are we going to go? Because it was just kind of lame. Like, we were just doing, you know, training that I didn't think was useful. And when you're a CM in the Alpha Company, you're at the shop, regardless. Unless you have class, you have to be at the shop. And there's like 80 CMs and like 10 checks with the 3M. That's kind of laggy and changes oil.
Yeah.
Stupid, you know, it was just boring, you know. It was kind of like, is this is what Homeport is? Because I didn't have Homeport. I went to from A school to the battalion, and we deployed like 2 months later.
So
and that was it. So that's all I knew. And then Homeport was just a drag.
See, I always use that time to party and fucking get some of the crazy.
I was 20.
But you can't. Yeah,
no,
dude. And in Gulfport, Mississippi.
After Katrina.
Fuck.
After
fuck
Katrina.
That,
for like 2 years, there was no economy.
Was
no
horrible.
Nothing.
And then, okay, so then you had your boring ass home port, which dude, that's a slow death.
And I was 20.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, that's why you got to keep these kids, man. You know, you got to get them while they're young.
Yeah.
Because you're like 19, 20 like you were.
Yeah.
And that's when you start getting into some bad habits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not just showing up late for work. I'm talking like people doing coke. There's nothing going on, you know, and they're popping on drugs and shit.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to fucking fall into that, you know, and you don't really.
Bad habits, yeah.
Yeah, man. You don't know any better.
Yeah, you don't.
Because
I had, you know, the homies from deployment, but even then they were like married. Or
yep.
they had their own, you know, girlfriends or whatever. So, like, really, it was just like, who's in the barracks? But it turns out, at that time, they just had to stand up NNCB 11.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they pushed
okay,
a bunch
yeah.
of us out that were E4s. I made E4 right at the end of deployment. Actually, I stayed there for the rest of the enlistment.
Right?
So, yeah. So, but I made E4 right after as we left, came back. I was in the barracks for like 2 months, and then they gave us BAA, which was pretty sweet.
Nice. Basic allowance for housing, that's basically rent money.
Yeah.
So you live out in town.
It was still kind of lame because I was 20 and there was nothing to do. So I was just bored somewhere else.
Right, yeah. Well, at least, you know, you could be bored in your own place versus that. And then that's the thing, too, is that I really wish people would pay more attention to those kiddos, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, 19, 20.
Yeah.
I mean, they're grown-ass adults. I get it. But at the same time,
just the direction.
Yeah, you don't really realize that. You know, it's been a short time since you left home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's so easy to go back in those old habits between being lazy and just, you know, falling into the wrong thing, you know, and fucking that shit. So
true, man. That's just how it. You just kind of, you can be a good CV or you can be a shitty CV. So which one are you gonna?
It's really easy to get. And then the thing is, too, is like whoever you hang out with initially, that's what usually pulls the fucking reins for the rest of your career, man.
Yeah.
Well, for that first 72, it was always bullshit, and I'm like, God damn, do I gotta fucking watch this movie again? But realistically, it's the truth, man. You watch that, that's how it is, really. Those impressionable people. You know, they say, like, the first 4 years of your life is your, makes up your personality. I think the first, like, 4 months of your time in battalion makes up your personality for your career. And it's crazy, but it's true. When you got done with that home port, then when did you deploy?
Yeah, we went to Iraq September of 07. So like right after the summer, we went down to Kuwait. I was on a debt. I got pulled from the Ramadi debt, or it was main body at the time, to Guam. And then they moved me back to another debt, TQ, that's where I was at.
El Takedo.
Yeah, right. That was, I guess that's now the main body. At some point it changed. But when I was there, we were only like 50 or 60 of us doing flight line repair. And then the convoy team was there too. Both teams were there. We did all the gerbs, because that's when the Navy started pushing the gerbs.
Gerbs, those are the big fucking...
Yeah, or the MRAPs, I guess, maybe.
MRAPs, mine protective...
Mine resistant.
Or mine resistant.
Ambush protected vehicles. We were the six wheels, the very first ones. And they were badass. They were hard to see out of.
Oh, yeah, because you had, like... You're basically rolling around in a big-ass bank truck.
Yeah, and it was, super...
It could have been made by Brinks Home Security or some shit like that.
Thick glass that kind of distorted your view. So you think you're on the line,
right?
Like, traveling down, but you're actually like 10 feet over the line.
And then another thing, too, people don't realize is a lot of those convoys are late at fucking night.
Hell yeah.
And you're using blackout lights, so you're not using regular fucking lights.
No, we were using, team was using lights.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you got big fucking vehicles.
They had freaking.
So much different than what it was like when I was first using.
Well, it's because of the, I think it's probably because of the IED thing.
Yeah.
They needed to see. Shit, there was like mine rollers. Me and my friend, I think he was a CM2 Seth at the time. He did the mine rollers, and we would all help him do that. And then it was either in front of the MRAPs or the MTBRs. There was no Humvees at the time because they sucked.
They learned a lot of lessons from us. You know, I got a buddy of mine, Jeff. He's a comic also. He was in like that show, fucking Generation Killer, was based off of his crew. You know, that was like literally no shit part of his fucking shit. And good dude. And it's funny because like I tell everybody, hey, watch that. That's an actual real.
Yeah,
it's really close to how it is. You know.
Yeah, culture. They got the culture and the antics and all that stuff down.
Mm, yeah, like the trash talk and masturbation. Yeah. It's all there.
Yeah. But, you know, that was also a different war where they were just blasting through everything, you know.
That was the beginning part.
And then it slowed down, and it's just like a different war. So the IED thing was, like, big. The MTBRs were better than the Humvees, but the Gerbs or the MRAPs were the best because they would deflect the blast.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that got hit, and the blast just went to the side.
That's what those things were built for, man.
Yeah.
They're built for that kind of abuse.
Yeah,
you know.
And then you know, Iraq was only like 9 or 10 months, kind of longer than what I expected. Because my first one was 6 months, and then Iraq turned into 9 months, 10 months, and then we were there the whole time. It was boring. It was cold too.
So it was 2007.
2007.
They're standing up NMCB 11, another Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 11. So around that time frame, they're trying to adjust. They're going from 8 to 9 battalions. Oh, so they're trying to adjust home port and deployments.
Five battalions in our base, and the other one was still four.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's still the reserve units that they kind of sprinkled in there. We didn't get any reserves when we were in Iraq, but they were like in Al Asad, I want to say.
Yeah, I had some really good and bad times with reserve battalions. Man, like initially it was... There was a battalion, I won't say the number, but these fuckers suck, dude. I had a horrible, like, you know, feeling about them. And then worked with NMCB 26. Unfortunately, that's no longer a battalion.
Oh, yeah. They're good.
But yeah, and the thing is these guys, I was like, dude, I wish we could take you with us. You know, because 26 had some of the best, you know, best of the best, I thought. You know, hardworking people, obviously, because they're from Ohio, Indiana, Michigan. But, you know, the states I used to live in. But yeah, man. And then
they're your peoples.
My people, Motor City, motherfucker. Nah, yeah, some real cool stuff, you know. But
yeah, that was you know, that was different for me because I actually I was still 20, you know. So I was the young guy. I was the senior E4. I was in charge of the shop for a little bit. And I was also, like, everyone's fire team leader. And then it was just, like, strange because all the guys they sent us were all, you know, E3s and whatever they were. But they were all older than me. I don't know. Maybe the recession was... I don't know what the fuck. But I had guys that were, like, 25, 28.
Right.
And I was telling them what to do as a 20-year-old because I already been in, like, you know, 2-3 years at that point. And it was not bad. They didn't turn into jerks. But then there was one or two that were just like, you know, I don't listen to you. And then it was like that time where, like, we got there and then they took their test and then they got promoted. So they were all E4. So then they thought, you know, we're on the same level. But then what they ended up doing was I started going on the line hauling for the convoys, carrying all the gear pretty much. And all the prefab stuff that they did for the SWAT huts. We built this, not we, but I drove the truck that had all the, those things. Those
trusses?
Yeah.
Yeah. And SWAT huts are the Southwestern Asian huts. They're basically like a barracks.
Yeah.
Like,
a box.
That's, yeah. They're about, yeah. And the thing is, too, is like, oh, if you watch, Sea huts is Southeastern Asian huts. Yeah. So if you watch Full Metal Jacket, that's what they're living in, or Platoon. They're living inside sea huts.
I think those.
But SWAT huts are a little bit different because these you actually can air condition. You don't cut the sides.
Yeah,
you don't
pop them open.
You keep these cold as fuck. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? With the AC, if you're lucky enough to get AC. But yeah, that's the difference between sea and SWAT.
I had a fridge in Iraq.
Hell yeah.
I forget who we used to relieve, but it was a, you know, but when he was battalion, we really...
What battalion were you in?
One.
So, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that was after the whole weird switch.
Yeah.
Because that was like, though, it used to be 341, 133, or something like that.
So the guy that was there, he had a fridge, and he's like, I can't take it. And he knows, it's just this mini fridge. He's like, hey, I got this fridge. I'll hook you up. And I was just like, okay. And he just gave me this fridge.
Nice.
So from day one, I had a fridge in the hooch, and you know, I would take stuff from the DFAC, and this my fridge.
Hell yeah, you know? DFAC's a guy.
I was hooked up.
Our cafeteria for those who don't know.
Yeah. The DFAC was weird too because
the one in Fallujah, or
no, in TQ.
Oh, TQ. Yeah.
Well, there were three for one.
Dude, the fucking one in TQ was awesome because you could get real silverware.
Yeah, because then like that was what I was accustomed to. It was a fucking fancy one with 10 coolers.
Yep,
juices.
That's over by those boxes, man, where people live.
Yeah, and
I forget what you call them, but the boxes that people lived in.
The
ISO container.
Yeah. And then I went to Ramadi during convoys, and they had a tent.
Oh, yeah.
They had a tent, and there was, like, these guys looking at us, and I was just like, this is creepy. Eventually, I was just like, I don't know. What the fuck is it? I'm walking through a tent.
Dude, yeah, that's why I was always stoked to get to TQ or these other places because, you know, one place had silverware, other places had, like, meat, different kinds of meats and stuff. Yeah,
there was a guy that would make stuff.
TQ was fucking Disneyland of fucking...
On Tuesday or Wednesday, there was a guy that made stir fry. And then, I mean...
Fallujah actually had a pretty nice defect galley, whatever you want to call it, and that was not bad. Yeah. But the thing is, too, oh, man, I talked about this on other podcasts. So I'll make it brief. But we would have a lot of the Marines were going to El Asad and these other places they could fucking get Burger King at El Asad. And then where they could get, like, meats and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I would never turn Marines away. Like, they would come to my shop in Fallujah and I'd do some welding on their vehicles or something like that. And then I'd disappear, go to other fobs for, like, you know, during a convoy and just not steal. But something not steal. Take medals and shit from everybody else and then bring it back. Not stealing, of course.
Acquiring.
It's to kill fully acquiring. Yeah. And then it was always cool because there'd always be people bringing back meats and Mountain Dew Code Red was my crack. And I couldn't get it on in Fallujah for a while.
Damn.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, it was, like I said, I was the senior guy to a bunch of guys that were way older than me.
Yeah.
And then when we did, after the convoys, then I just kind of did my own thing. I don't know what happened. It was weird. We kind of finished that mission and we finished the flight line. So we were kind of like not doing shit. And then they decided to redeploy the Guam unit. They closed down the Guam at that
time. Right, Camp Covington.
For like a year or two.
Yeah.
And they sent all those Guam guys to us and half to Ramadi. And then we had too many CMs. And we're just like,
what do you do? You know?
There's the mission ended. The flight line was completed. And we had too many people. What now?
It's so funny then
it was just, I don't know.
Right now, like, I got a buddy of mine, Joe, he's there, and then also another dude, Colbert, he's there too, though. They're with two different battalions.
In Guam?
Yes.
What?
You know, you have like a full debt there, mm-hmm. and you have another debt doing PMs and shit.
Oh.
So you have a debt from Gulfport there and a debt from Port Wainemi there right now.
Really?
4-1 or something. Joe Cunningham, I can say his name. He's an EO1. So he's an SDM, but yeah, you know what, Cunningham's there
Macquarie, right?
Out of Gulfport. I'm sure they do. Yeah. I mean, you'd think Brody
like
Point would
do, right?
Dude, yeah, that's it, right? Shit, when I was there, I was funny because I was in Guam and I was an Alpha Company as a steel worker. Mm-hmm. Initially, I was supposed to be Alpha Safety, and then it went from being an Alpha Safety guy to being a planning guy because I made first. And then Art Messer, Master Chief Messer's like, I ain't letting you go nowhere, O'Brien. Basically like that, right? So I'm fucking stuck. And then I'm like, I made up my own title. I'm like the Alpha 3 Charlie, some shit like that. I was the Alpha 3 Charlie, you know, so I could do the planning estimate. Because we had a Polaris Point. We did a jogging path on Polaris Point. So that was my thing. And I'm like, finally got the shit planned and estimated. We're just starting to like do the boards, mark the thing in. Willie Blanding was the EA kick ass dude. He's a chief now, good guy. And you know, got everything set up, and I get a phone call. Fucking Bobby Moons, man, calls me up saying, "Hey Obi, how do you feel about going to Iraq?" And I'm like, "Do you give a shit how I feel?" He says, "Not really. See you in 2 weeks. Yeah, get some deserts." And that's how I ended up in Iraq.
What year was that?
2006.
Oh, okay.
You know, so yeah, a little bit before you, man.
Yeah.
But it's cool because you're talking about being there in 2007, mm-hmm. and you're talking about Ramadi, and all that, and my imagination's running wild because, like, we used to go there all the time, you know, like a lot of my real good friends, you know, Andy Bugs, and there's a couple other people, I won't mention his names, because I don't know if they're comfortable with that, but... Dude, they were all there in Ramadi, and you hear all this other cool, crazy shit. And my running joke, I say this on stage all the time, is the CBs, you know, were there. You know, the SEALs, they're the rock stars. So you hear about all these SEALs and all the shit they did in Ramadi being rock stars. Mm-hmm. We're the fucking roadies. You know what I mean? Like, we're the ones who fucking, you know, we make sure the guitars are ready to go. And we built the stage. We make sure that people have air conditioning so the rounds don't blow up in their room.
Clear the path. That's definitely, and I think when I was there, it was during the surge. So I think it started in 06 or 07.
Yeah, something around that,
They sent in like 40 or 30,000 troops into Iraq. So when I got there, the Marines already fucked all up all the freaking Al-Qaeda or Saddam guys or whatever. So we didn't really get shot at.
I think the politically correct word is Durkas.
Fucking terrorists. Yeah. They fucked them up, man. We never got mortared on TQ. Never got shot at outside.
Well, TQ is so fucking big, dude.
Yeah.
You had two sides of that shit. You know what I mean? You had
I was on the side that our barracks was on the side where you can see the city from the berm. So we were right on the berm, actually.
Yeah.
And we would go up to there and we could see. There used to be like a crow's nest up there that was manned, but then it wasn't. No. I don't know how I feel about that. When I first got there, I was like, should there be a guy in there?
That was like, there was like, there's something like that in Fallujah too, where it's just like, but they were like, some were manned, some weren't, because it's just like, you know, threat protection, if you're at 50% or 25%.
Yeah, that's probably the worst.
The second shit goes up and down, though, you know, you kind of get conditioned for that in field exercises. Is you know, at 100% man, you got, you know, two people in every fighting position.
Yeah.
Then like half that's one in every other one, or two in every other one. It's fucking weird.
I got in trouble one time too because I was when you're in a vehicle that's up armored.
Yeah,
you need an A driver.
Supposed to.
I didn't like that because fuck that. I'm a grown ass man. I know how to drive, and. You had to wear your gear.
Yeah, that's a Marine Corps rule.
Pain in the ass. So one time I was like, oh, we're going to take out a dump truck or something. So I just put my gear in there. I just went to my hoots to grab my shit because they're like, you might not come back until the project's finished.
Yeah. And you might not come back.
So I was like, okay, so what? They're like, just pack your sleeping bag, some food and underwear. I was like, okay. So I go and I take the dump truck and literally like our shop was down the road, maybe like, you can see it pretty much. It wasn't far at all. So I get in and I drive, and I guess the base police or the base security was like the guys that yell Yumbo. They're African, but
actually, oh yeah, the Ugandans, right?
Ugandans, yeah. So this guy is following me, and I can't see him, and I'm leaving him in the dust because there's moon dust. And I park and I get out with my rifle, and this guy's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like,
"What do you do? What do you do? I was like, you come here. Take off your glasses."
Yeah, he's like, scared. Can I have my rifle in my hand too? Yeah. I just jumped out of the truck, and then he got scared, and I got scared. I was like, "What the fuck's going on?"
Right.
And he's like, "You can't drive without an A driver, and you have to have your gear on." And I was like, "Oh, I just took it off."
Yeah, dude, that's funny because like, when we go from I was a Charlie 3 over to 2. And operations the guy, that's Charlie 3 means.
Yeah.
At 202, and I go down to Camp Lejeune.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is you go on and off those Marine Corps bases, you're supposed to have your gear on at all times. Yeah. So in our trip ticket, which is basically a piece of, it's a big ass envelope full of
a receipt.
Yeah, you got to have all, if you have an accident, those forms are in there.
Yeah.
There's also a typed up letter from our commanding officer saying that CBs don't have to wear the gear. And then also verified by their, like, mm-hmm. the base policy is that CBs, we don't wear the gear. Yeah. We're not part of your command. Basically, we're here to help you. We're not playing your game. You know, that's kind of it. You asked us to help.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to help you, but we're going to help you our way. You know?
I think the Army has a similar policy.
They have. It depends on camps.
Camp Shelby had that for a while. You had to have your gear. But it was dumb because you didn't have to have plates on. So it was kind of, I
think it might have just been like a training exercise so you get used to it.
Yeah, Camp Shelby is like a reserve training.
It's area. Like, Shelby is the equivalent for your CB. It's equivalent to 400 legged.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just the other coast. Mm-hmm.
They
it's
do like, workups for the other fucking nasty girls.
The what?
National Guard.
Oh, nasty. Okay, yeah. All
nasty girls.
All of you nasty girls.
All these part-time weekend warriors.
All you nasty girls. That's the ending song of this one. It's going to be Janet Jackson. Oh, you nasty girls. No, the funny thing is, too, is like, I don't know what anybody else thinks of when he hears that song. Mm. For me, I always see that strip club scene in fucking Beverly Hills Cop. Oh, you nasty girls.
How old are you, man? I don't know what that is.
You never seen that's Beverly Hills Cop?
I've never seen it.
Dude, end of interview. It's like one of my favorite movies. Yeah. We're done. Friendship over. No, it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. So.
I might have saw it when I was a kid, but yeah. Eddie Murphy, he had a lot of movies. And then he just went into this Disney kiddie type thing with like Dr. whatever, where he talked to animals.
Yeah, Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
And a lot of it too is just like, I think Adam Sandler kind of fell into suit where it's just like, I'm just going to do what I want to do for my kids.
Yeah.
Or you got to pay bills. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the thing too.
Amazon
is I see
some shitty movies.
You know, and yeah, but you know, the thing is he did it because he wants to. You know, he's at a point in his life now. He doesn't give a shit what you think about it. His movies, because he's doing it for his kids.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you like this? Do it. You know, fuck it. And that's, I think that's pretty cool. You know, and you just walk away and do whatever the fuck you want. But I don't know. I think that might have been something that
might have matured too. I mean, yeah.
Adam Sandler were mature. Those don't go in the same sentence, dude.
There's some dark comedies that I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And like romantic comedies. Anyways, Billy Madison.
Dude, Happy Gilmore, yeah, Billy Madison. Gilmore. Hell yeah. Little Nicky.
Back in the day. That's
Little Nicky.
That
What's that?
I didn't like that.
You didn't like it?
I don't like when he changes his voice.
Oh, I agree to that. That was kind of weird.
It is weird.
But my kiddo and I was still like, they're all going to laugh at you. Speaking of changing voices, let's change back to
let's get back on
Iraq. And you're getting back from Iraq? And you're doing
We left Iraq sometime in April. And so the first time I was in Kuwait, I was only there for 3 days. We just qualified on our weapon, and then they kicked us out. We were the first guys that left the thing.
And they do that decompression for fucking ever?
Yeah, 2 weeks I swear we were in Kuwait, and it was miserable. And we were on the camp.
Camp Morale.
Camp Morale, yeah, I knew that. And there was nothing, I mean, God. Talk about purgatory, man.
That was...
It was like... You get to go home at some point, but, you know, whenever they were ready to that, go.
The whole point with that was they were sending people home, and then the second you got home, some people were still filing.
Yeah.
Some people were still doing that. I don't know. I don't know the science behind this, because it might... I think it made me go fucking crazier.
Yeah.
You know, and then the bad thing is like, you're... They had a movie, and this is going to make me sound like a horrible person, I don't care, but they were showing these videos where dude was beating his wife and all this other shit.
With the chaplain?
But, and it was fucking hilarious, not because the guy was beating his wife, because the acting was so fucking horrible.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
You know, it was like, are you kidding me? You know.
It's better than PowerPoint, I guess.
No, I don't know. That's up there.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, it was just lame. I don't know. Yeah. The chaplain was boring. All these other things you had to do, turning your gear. And then, like, you just didn't have anything to do. And then the Wi-Fi was sucked, obviously. You had to pay for, like, a card or some dumb shit.
And then, I think what really hurt, though, is there was no cooldown. Like, what I think would help more in the future is if there was some sort of a cooldown period. Because it was just like, I'll use some steelwork fucking thing, you know, here. It's like heating steel to like a really bright orange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost to the point where it wants to melt. And then you dip it in water and it just quenches like right away. And that's kind of like what happens. You know, so if there's like activities, you do some sports day shit.
I think so, but.
Because if they had like something to make.
That much.
Well, you know what I mean.
Hot,
something man. Something
Kuwait
to bring
was
you.
Hot when I was down there.
And fuck, even Xbox Madden tournaments, if you're on, like, dude, that'd work. Ooh, you know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to go home. I was just tired.
Fuck yeah. So you got out after that deployment then? Or?
No, I went. That was only like 3 years in. But I hurt my shoulder in Iraq when I was putting some glass into a front end loader.
Yeah.
I ripped up the tendon. I got a rotator cuff tear. I was pretty fucked up. So I didn't. And then, you know, I didn't want to go home because we weren't done yet. But at the same time, I didn't get good treatment either. And I didn't know how serious it was. You know, I didn't know that I had tear. And then so I was going through home port and I was getting seen for this condition. And then they're like, okay, we're going to send you to physical therapy. Okay, we're going to send you to the MRI. Oh, we're going to send you. It was just like, you know, corpsmen, you know, they get respect, but they're not doctors.
No,
especially not orthopedic doctors. That's actually a specialty.
And the thing, too, with corpsmen is they're only as good as they apply themselves.
Yeah.
And I've had some amazing fucking corpsmen, like over Doc Perez. I put him up against any fucking doctor in the world. But the thing is, I got cool docs and cool corpsmen, but you got those lazy fucks that just do the bare minimum.
Yeah, because I went in and I was like, hey, man, you know, the corpsman at the time was an HM1, and he came from the fleet, from the Marines, FMF Marines, or FMF Corman. So, I don't know what he thought, he was better than everyone or some shit, but I was like, my arm hurts, and when we're sitting on attention or parade rest, it goes numb. He's like, oh, you just have to shake it off. And I'm like, that's it? Like, that was it.
Yeah, it's a lot. He's like the hoorah, just got out of the fucking field Marine.
He's like, you just have to shake it off.
In other words, hey, I really don't want to do my job.
Yeah.
Today.
But, you know, I just kept going and kept going. And eventually, we deployed to Okinawa a third time. So our home port after Iraq was like 20-something months. It was brutal. I could not.
My last battalion was 3. And I checked in like a month before they deployed to Okinawa.
Yeah.
And they just got doing something like that. They had like a super long. All that.
And that's because of the change. And they're like, oh, we're going to go to 12 and 6 now. After they did 10 and 6. And then before that, it was like 7 and 7. I don't know. But we got stuck with the long deployment. Everyone was happy. You know, it's just like, this is how you go broke, man. Like, there's no deployment money, you know? And that's exactly what happened. I didn't get to save any money. I had a room, even though I had roommates. I didn't get to save any money, man. Like, no, 20 months a home port, two faxes, a bunch of training that was just like,
yeah,
you know. And then
gotta keep the guys busy though, man.
We finally deployed to Okinawa, and I never got to go to Spain. So if they wouldn't have changed that up, I would have got to Spain instead of Okinawa twice.
You're fucking singing my song,
yeah,
man.
So
I did Puerto Rico, Okinawa, Guam,
yeah,
Spain as well.
Yeah, because like when I got to the battalion, the deployment before Okinawa was Spain. So
yeah.
I was like, okay, so we're gonna go back to Spain or Guam or whatever, because Guam had closed. So I don't know. I guess that we're going to Spain. So then it turns out we're going to Okinawa. So it's just like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
I already been there. I know. But so we went on deployment, and we got there sometime in June, right before the typhoon stuff went down. But the second time, it was only like once or twice that we had typhoon, and they were just baby typhoon.
Yeah.
They hit elsewhere. But we were doing a 6-month deployment, right? So we got there in June, we're gonna leave in December. Same thing as my first deployment, June to December. And I was talking to one of my friends. He was stationed as an active duty liaison with NMCV, something out of New England. And he's like, hey, you guys are going to get extended.
Oh, like 23 or one of the,
yeah,
reserve? Okay, gotcha.
He's like, you guys are going to get extended. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure they would have told us if we're going to get extended. And then what it turns out is that in 2009, President Obama ordered a bunch of troops into Afghanistan.
Okay.
So they surged Afghanistan at that time. So they sent troops, and then for us, instead of us getting relieved by the Port Hueneme Battalion, they sent the Port Hueneme Battalion early,
right,
to Afghanistan in 2010. So we were like extended 5 months.
You're like, what the
in
fuck?
Okinawa.
So
and they
had
didn't
like-
tell us to right before Christmas.
So you had the
bastards.
You had the super long home port,
yeah,
then another super long deployment.
Yeah.
And then
what ended up happening was I got because you know how they at some point they downsized the battalion from like 5-something to 4-something?
Right.
So they let a bunch of the guys transfer early, and I was on that lottery. I got to transfer early. I was all of a sudden they called me like, hey, you need to pick orders. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, it was like basically a draft pick. Like,
yeah,
you know, like we just had the Las Vegas Knights,
yeah,
come into the NHL.
So
that was like NMCV 11 just came into the,
yeah,
NHL.
Yeah, so I ended up getting the option to request orders sometime in June or January or February. And that was after they extended us. So I was like, okay, well, fuck, whatever. I'll leave. Because I still had this 2-year extension at,
yeah,
that time. And I had only done like maybe 4 years. So they're like, you gotta re-enlist for 2 years. You knock off those extensions, and you get to choose orders. Sweet, get out of Gulfport finally. You gotta go for Manimi. I live down. I'm from LA, so I'm like 100
nice.
Miles. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, and then I'll just go there. In my head, I'm like, I'm gonna go pick a command for Manimi. I don't give a shit what it is. And then I'll get out after that, or I'll stay, whatever. And then since I still had that shoulder injury, I was getting treatment at the Okinawa hospital, the Marine
Camp
Corps.
Foster,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was I don't fucking know where it was. It was the hospital in Okinawa. But it was a Navy hospital. And then they did an MRI then, and they're like, we see that you have a tear here, you have a tear here, you need surgery to correct it. So then I go back to my battalion and I tell them that, and they're like, okay, we'll give you surgery when we get back to home port. So then I guess had a permanent light duty chip for like the whole deployment. And then when it came to pick orders, they're like, oh, you can't go anywhere, you need surgery.
Oh yeah.
You're
so
like,
gonna be 105 status.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. I went light duty. Stayed in Gulfport for like another 2 years.
Jesus.
And I got out on a medical discharge in the end. I had to sell back like 40 days of leave. I kept getting extended. I ended up doing 7 years when I was only supposed to do 6 years. I thought they were going to fix me, but in the end, it kind of ended up okay, because
right.
I ended up getting you know, service connected right away.
What's that mean, service connected?
Service connected is when you file a claim to the VA for disability and compensation. That means is that you have an injury in service, and the VA recognizes that you had an injury in service, so they compensate you. It could be something as little as an ingrown toenail, foot fungus, knees, PTSD, TBI, MST, which is military sexual trauma. Marines, Army, Navy, and Air Force all have some sort of things where, like, the junior troop gets abused by the senior staff.
Right.
Or whatever. Men and women. No one talks about it. It's embarrassing.
So yeah. A lot of the early years, too, long time ago, the hazing was a lot different. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, people waking up with balls on their face or something like that, which, you know, sexual trauma, man, you know?
So there's a lot of things. The VA recognizes a lot of things, and they'll service connect you for them. That means you can get treatment, you can get money, compensation, and you can also be enrolled in the better program. So if you are having any injuries and you're documented, if you listen to this and you're still active duty, go to your SICO, go to the corpsman, talk about any injuries.
Documents. My problem, and you know this too, because you know, you're actually my BSO, is that I would hate the sick bay commando people to the point where I'd be like, I'm not a pussy, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality we get. You know?
Tough it out, suck it up.
I'll be okay, no worries, you know. And I'm like, I got this. But in the long run, there are so many more things where I could have bumped everything up.
Yeah. You can get, you know, a good rating. And because sometimes some things you're fine eventually. But some things, they affect how you interact with people. They affect how you work. They affect how long you can work. Those are all things that we don't take into consideration because, you know, now I have a bad back, too much gear. My sappy plates and, you know, the 8 magazines or whatever we carry, that shit is heavy. And I was a small dude. I only weighed like 160 when we got to Iraq. So carrying 50 pounds, you know, it was a pain in the ass. Not to mention, you know, my shoulder was fucked up, so I was just putting more pressure and pain. So, you know, stuff, your body is good when you're young, but when you get older, it's just, you're not going to get any healthier. You're not going to grow, you know, cushion in your knees anymore.
No.
So you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta get it documented. You know, treatment.
What would you go back and tell yourself if you could? Be like, hey, self, what's up?
If you have trouble sleeping, go to the sick call and talk to the doctor about sleeping. If you think you have disturbances, night terrors, night sweats, coughing in the middle of the night, you probably have sleep apnea and you don't know it. And some of those things are trying to be linked to PTSD, and some of those things are being linked to the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And Djibouti.
They burn not your butt.
Poop. They burn poop. They burn, you know, cow mire. They burn dirty uniforms. They burn anything.
Well, that's, because they don't have the rules and regulations we do here. Mm-hmm. They were burning tires, man. Just fucking, just nasty shit. Like back S edge.
Yeah.
TQ, where they were
TQ
doing
TQ had a dump. Dude. And we would funny story, one time we were at the dump, and we decided to take a jump on this dump truck, and we're like, yeah, fucking take it. He jumps it, and all of a sudden, he sees this tailgate swing around. We're like, oh, shit. The fucking tailgate on the dump truck fell off and was hanging by a freaking one chain link.
Oh, shit.
About to lose the damn gate. Yeah. But the TQ has a dump, and they burn car parts, electronics, wires, papers, all
TQ
sorts of stuff.
TQ is one of the places I would cowboy to, because they got that big-ass dump like right in the middle of the fucking base.
And there was good stuff in there, too.
Yes. And see, as my steel shop, I didn't have shit, so I'd get MTVR hinges. And I get all kinds of hinges and stuff like that, because everything revolves around a hinge.
Yeah.
I got cases, I got boxes, I got help armor I got to build. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd think I was Steve Jones stealing music gear, man. Mm-hmm. I was robbing motherfuckers left and right so I could get shit.
Yeah.
So I could get, I would never turn anybody away, and I would never take gear that would hurt somebody else if they lost it. But I'll tell you what, if you're driving around in the wire and you're never going anywhere, mm-hmm. I'm taking your fucking ARP armor and I'm making sure some CBs first and then Marines got your shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. So there's actually a registry for the burn pits if you
were in a base. Yeah.
It doesn't, right now it's not equating to anything, but they're tracking everything. So hopefully, you know, 10 years from now, if you have some sort of illness, emphysema, or anything related. IBS is a big one for people that were in Iraq as well. The dust in Iraq is like toxic. Wound dust that you inhaled, sinusitis, bloody noses. I don't know, some guys might still get blood. I didn't even realize that was a thing.
I get bloody noses, dude. And I didn't realize
it's connected to that, the dust particles. There's a lot. If you do not know what your benefits are, I encourage you to find a VSO, a county VSO, DAV, AMVETS, VFW, any organization.
Hit you up on Facebook because you're like, I don't mean to hit you with the RV here, but the cool thing is you and I, we're part of a lot of the same Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'll see, like, somebody will have some comment of like, hey, I can't sleep through the night, or I hurt my foot when I was in there. I got athlete's foot, I got jock itch, I got jaundice. I got some bullshit from while they were in the fucking military. And I see you taking your card and you're posting your card right underneath it, you know?
Yeah. Because sometimes people just need a little encouragement and, you know, they don't know.
Yeah.
So if you or someone that's a veteran, you know, they need assistance, they need housing, they need anything, they can come to a VSO office. They can just search county VSOs. Or they can go to the VA. The thing with the VA is that they don't advocate against themselves. So that's why you have VSO organizations. That's why you have all these programs. They will help you do a claim at the federal building, but it's not. It's just not the same thing.
I think this is for me. I think it's. It reminds me a lot of going to court.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So like, if I look at it like this, because you have the guys. They help you,
mm-hmm.
and you have the guy, the DA, and you have your lawyers.
Yeah.
And you have your district attorney, and you have your lawyers. Okay, so you're going up against them.
Yeah.
The VA is the district attorney, mm-hmm. but at the same time, the people that are treating you are the lawyers.
Yeah.
They're the good guys.
Yeah.
The guys that you see for medical assistance, most of them are good fucking people.
Yeah, most of them are.
But you have the people that are trying to deny you your benefits, too. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, we'll have something that comes in, and it'll be fucked up. Like, well, since I don't want to violate anybody's HIPAA, I'll talk about my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they try to deny me 30%.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I think you're fine. And the day I get out of the hospital for asthma, I get a letter for that.
Yeah.
And they kind of tricked me up with, you know, how are you today? And I said, oh, I'm good. So they wrote, he is fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, you have your inhaler? I was like, well, I don't have it on me. It's in my car. Does not have an inhaler. You know, what other kind of tripped up things have you seen like that?
Well, they'll do this thing where, okay, if you're 90% and you're just trying to like pick things out of a hat to get service connected, and you can say that the person's being greedy, right? The VA doesn't look at it like that. They just look at, what they'll do is they'll open up all the things for a person, for a veteran claiming things. Especially if you're trying to get connections where it's secondary. You have TBI and PTSD. Sometimes they lump them together. So if you try to go too high on one, they can lower the other one.
Yeah.
Same thing with like hearing or tinnitus. Like,
huh?
You know? So tinnitus is ringing in the ears. A lot of veterans have them just from going to the range once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, there's also MOSs and rates that are susceptible to noise exposure, mechanics, MPs, infantry, obviously being on a ship, being a mechanic, in on the ship as well, flight line, flight deck, whatever you want to call it, those guys, they're kind of given for tinnitus because they have the exposure. They just have to say it. But if you go in there and you assume the VA is going to just have your back and say, "Oh yeah, I see it here. Let's just do it." No, you have to go in there. You have to say, "It affects me. I have it. This is how I got it," and then. That's it. Those three things. But if you don't say those, they're not going to give you shit. They might give you a zero. That's if you're lucky.
Yeah, the thing that, like, I'm not stepping on your toes, am I? No, okay, cool. Because, like, one of the things that really got me was I didn't understand the range of motion thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I thought it was about pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, it's hard as fuck to, you know, move my arm. Mm-hmm. Like, can you move it this high? Can you move it this high?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I kept going as hard as I can. But that really kind of... Don't go higher than you normally would go with
as
your arm.
As soon as it hurts, stop.
Stop. And that's my problem. Yeah. That kind of fucked me out of my shoulder,
For the back, as soon as this hurts, stop. If it says, okay, bend forward. Oh, no, it hurts. They're going to... Eventually, the VA is going to redo those issues with the musculoskeleton. Because like a bad back, you might have 10% one day, but the next week you might have like spasm. You can't get out of bed. So they're gonna they're gonna start compensating veterans for that as well when you're missing work. You just have to have flare ups. Is what it's gonna kind of call.
Well, that's the thing too. Is I went back for my back. Mm-hmm. You know, you got and that was the thing. They're like, oh, you got 20%, and they're like, how long have you served? Like, how long before they gave me the 20%? The doctor. The doctor was like, oh, okay, well, how long, you know, he looked at me like, I'm older, you know what I mean? Like, I'm older than a 23-year-old guy who just did 4 years, that kind of older, you know, and then, and he's like, oh, how long have you been away? Thinking that I've been out for, you know, 10, 15 years. I'm like, I've been out for about maybe 13, 14 months now. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you went in when? I was like, 1996. You got out when? 2016. You do the math, folks. You know, that's 20 years. It's like, that's more than half my life. And he looked at that and he's like, oh, man, I can see you just the way you're sitting down. You're sitting uncomfortably. Yeah. You know, we don't even need to do the test. I mean, we're going to do the test, but we don't even need to do them. I can tell you right now, you're service connected, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and that was the thing. But not everybody's going to be like that.
Yeah.
You know?
And the other thing you have to keep in mind is when you go to your CMP exam, which is for the compensation and pension, it's an exam. They're not there to treat you. They're not there to diagnose you. They're just there to do the checklist.
Yeah.
Does he have it? Does she have it? Does it hurt her? Does it hurt him? Whatever. They're not there to give you prescription. If you ask for prescription, they might actually put that on there and you'll be treated like a freaking drug addict at the VA.
That's
crazy. Not your doctor. That's just someone evaluating
you. You know, my back hurt. Can I get some Vicodin?
Yeah.
Man?
What's up? They're going to ask for drugs. Yeah. So then they might think you're lying too if you're doing stuff like that. So
that's crazy.
You know, be careful what you say. So the VA is a good thing and a bad thing if you.
Well, the thing is too is I think personally, I believe that the going right back to the lawyers and all that other shit. The VA is like a court thing, and then you know that they say, "Ye who represents himself as a fool for a client."
Yeah.
So if you're unrepresented, you are hurting yourself.
Yeah.
Find a VSO somewhere. Get involved, man, and learn what the fuck is going on. Because if you don't do that, you're just shooting yourself in the foot, and you're probably not going to get compensated for something. I'm a firm believer in you break, you buy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How much gear did you have to pay for over your career?
Yeah.
So, and you had to pay for shit you broke.
Yeah.
And they should pay for you. They broke you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's, you know, in a nutshell, the VA wants to compensate you for your time in service and injuries.
Yeah. So, you know, and they
it's not welfare. It's not begging. It's old to you.
And that's the hardest part for vets. Like, there's a lot of people that have no problem, but me personally, and I know I talked to a lot of people. I got a buddy of mine, Johnny Woolston. He's a retired senior chief, BUCS, did a fucking kick-ass career, Bronze Star recipient. Good guy. He's basically like an Alpha 5.
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge of all the buses that run around Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He refuses to talk to the VA at all. He's like, I'm fine. I got a good career. I'm drawing senior chief retirement pay. And he's got a good bang-up job up there, too. But he just doesn't go to the VA.
Sometimes, you know, and sometimes with the VA, it's for the state of California, there's a fee waiver. So in order so the fee waiver covers is tuition for the dependents or the kids for the veteran. They just have to be service-connected.
Yeah.
And then they can go to a community college in California, Cal State, CSU, and UCs for free on the CalVet program.
Nice.
And a lot of them don't have service connected, so they come in and then we're trying to do something for them. We can't. They never went to the thing. They were only in there for like a year or two. So we just have to try to do tinnitus, and hopefully it sticks, you know? But
And that's 10% alone.
Yeah,
I mean, 10%. You know.
But that'll get your kid through school. If you have more than one, it's going to save you.
That's a lot of
your
money.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. Sounds like you got a good gig now doing this, man. And then you went from... There was a time frame, I'm sure, between being in and then being
transition.
Where you are now.
Yeah, the transition. So like, I didn't have a terrible time. I did get in trouble, you know, because I didn't have anything to do. I was collecting my disability from the VA because I got paid right away. And then I was collecting unemployment. If you're a veteran and you just got out, file for unemployment.
Not if you're collecting retirement, though, right?
I don't know about that.
Okay, he's like, I don't know.
And the worst is they're going to deny you. So that was my income for like 9 months. And then finally I was just like, this sucks. Because I was set. I couldn't get any more or any less. So I decided to go back to school, use the GI Bill, which is awesome. The GI Bill covers your tuition, your books, or some of your books. And then it covers a housing allowance, BAH, E5, with dependents, depending on the zip code that your school's at. So that's what I did for, you know, 3 years. I used the GI Bill, and I, you know, while you're doing the GI Bill, you can do work study. You can work at any organization that benefits veterans, VA, VSO, the school. I went to LACC for like a year, and I joined the Veterans Club at on campus, and we did good shit. And I think I was the clerk the secretary and maybe the vice president. I don't remember. But then I went to another school, and there I was the president. I was the secretary. I did a bunch of shit, you know, pretty much. And it, that's what helped me transition, was being around veterans. So the easy thing was for me was to go to school and go to the Veterans Club. Not every campus has one, so I encourage you, do it for other veterans if you're a veteran. Start a club.
That's where a lot of us are like.
We fall short, yeah.
We're so used to helping each other out. You know, and now and you
make that your new mission, because keep you on track. Because if you don't, you're just gonna drink. You're just gonna do dumb shit. You're just gonna bad habits.
Yeah, it's very true. I think that's the biggest thing too. Is like when you're helping other people out, you're really helping yourself out in the long run. Yeah. You're setting yourself up with goals and you know things.
I mean, you can even just do BFW or American Legion if that's.
Yeah.
If you're not going to school, some of them, I don't personally go, but I know they need a different business plan. Yeah. A lot of them only open once or twice a week.
I think a lot of them too are like, and God bless them for what they do. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of BFWs that are great organizations. That's my disclaimer. But there's also ones that are just like, dude, quit smoking in your fucking building. Nobody wants to go in a. I mean, this is a generation of non-smokers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing too. And then that's just updated. You know, put some lighting in there.
Put some lighting, put some TVs, invite people.
Put an Xbox in that bitch.
Have something more than just alcohol and beer, because you can do that shit at home.
And you got
an Xbox at home.
It's all Netflix. Depressing. And some of them, I'm not saying all of them, I'm just saying some of them are like that. There's some other cool ones. They do activities and they have like cookouts and food and stuff like that. The one in Fremont, Ohio.
Yeah, get involved.
Shout out to them. I'm part of the one in Canoga Park. The funny thing is, it was Marty Engling, the president. He's a good guy. He's like, oh man, you should join, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool. How much is it? Like, $35. Like, okay, well, I will eventually. And he bugged me like 3 days later. Then he bugged me 3 days later. Then he bugged me three more fucking days later. I was like, how much was it again? $35. Cool. So it's going to cost me $35 for you to shut the fuck up? So now I got the membership. I got a text. It's time to redo your shit.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Eventually, I'll go to one. I don't have time. I work.
Yeah.
And I'm around veterans all day. But, maybe eventually I'll go into one that has weekend meetings and, do something good, Gotta get. I don't go to school anymore, so I gotta do something else. If look us up. We're the LA County Military and Veterans Affairs. We have a website. We have a phone number you can call, and we'll get a hold of you.
Yeah.
If you call, we're at the Bob Hope Patriotic Hall.
Big ass building you can see off the 110.
Yeah.
That's what I always thought was cool. Is driving by, and I drive the RV for radio station, KLOT, 95.5 KLOT. And I always drive by and I always see the thing. Bob Hope's one of my heroes.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want to do with my comedy. I want to take comedy around the world for vets and shit. And I always thought Bob Hope thing. I'm like, what that is? Is it a homeless shelter? I didn't know. But it's a big ass, you know,
building. It's a building. It's a lot of good stuff. It's all for veterans. It's all for you. If you need help with the... If you have a bad discharge, I can help you with that. I can help you, you know, apply for an upgrade. I can help you try to get benefits of the VA. I can't promise anything, but I promise you I'll help you. Because, you know, don't think that that you're not eligible until you apply. Let the VA decide.
Yeah, no doubt. You never know until you ask.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we're here to help. And, you know, hopefully some people reach out.
Reach out, touch food. Anything else you want to say to the people out there in the world?
I don't know, man. Like, what? Like, get your benefits.
Get your fucking benefits.
Get your
bennies. All right, man. Well, I guess we'll call this one a day. All right, so for all the people I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. And for all the people I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Peace out, or some shit like that. Boom, ba 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 ba